Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to the Schmozone podcast. This is episode number 101. I'm Dave Schmolenson, a.k.a. The Schmo. My co-host is...
Helen Yee with Helen Yee Sports.
And today's guest, we have some members of the New England Cartel. We got Calvin Cater. We got Rob Font.
What's going on, bro?
Two guys in the top five in their respective divisions.
Yes, sir.
Guys, yeah. Thanks for joining. Welcome back.
Hell yeah, man. Thanks for having us on.
Good to be back.
So just in Vegas... A week, maybe 2 weeks early before the main event against Chito Vera.
Yes, sir. Yeah, usually come out about 2 weeks before, get settled in, get used to the weather, the time, and then, you know, helps with the weight, helps get obviously acclimated to the time and you know, being out here in the West. But, yeah, I love Vegas. Vegas is fun. So, what is it? Third main event back to back in Vegas, and, you know, I can't complain.
Finally getting that recognition, too.
Hell yeah.
Your performances, your style, fan favorite type of style.
I appreciate that, man.
And even Calvin, congrats on your recent win. Huge win over Giga.
Yeah, yeah. I was happy the way that one worked out. And no more year layoffs.
For sure. And we were talking about it, too. It's like, it's what have you done for me lately? We're talking before we started the podcast. Like, after the Max Holloway fight, everyone was just writing you off, just taking away everything that you've done to get to this point. And then even Giga, you know, everyone was looking past you and the performance you had against him. It's like you flipped the script, completely changed the narrative. You reminded everyone why you're a title contender in the featherweight division.
Yeah. The more they talk, the more locker room material for us. And, you know, even after a win, we're always just on to the next one. Even after the Max fight, after the Giga fight, just focus on the next one. So, and next one's Rob Font.
And I just want to add that I know you guys got a lot of praise, and in particular your coach Tyson Chartier, for just how, I mean, not only how you looked in that fight against Giga, but just how everything was handled and taking, you know, some time off, but being able to recover and just have that performance that you did.
Yeah, that that little pullback made me want to get back in there that much more. And just when fight day came, just let it all out. And like I said, just glad the way it worked out, and on to the next.
And we are sporting our New England Cartel shirt. Rob, I don't have a shirt for you, but I got the Catermania shirt right
it.
Here.
I love it. Same shit.
I just came back from WrestleMania, interviewed Brooke Hogan in Dallas.
You're going to get me in trouble, man.
No, it's good.
I mean, no, it's a nice tank. I don't know where you got it, but no, I like it.
They're exclusive, though. Yeah. They're exclusive. I felt honored the last time you were on the show. We had to sport it when we saw you guys.
Now I'm honored, so thank you guys both. I like it.
You're great. You're great. And I'm not going to lie, though, too. You know, a few hours back, we had Uriah Faber. We interviewed him. We put two and two together, linking you to a fight with Josh Emmett.
And here you are, repping. I like it.
We think we know, you know, who you picked for this fight.
So you think that's the fight? I mean, a couple hours ago, that's likely the fight.
I mean, I never really care who I fight next. To be honest, I'm always just trying to focus on improving my skills, no matter who it's against, because that opponent could always move around, come whatever fight date that, you know, you're scheduled for. So. Just trying to get better every day, and in the meantime, like I said, Rob Font's next, so he's still got my complete focus. I want to see him do his thing, and then, you know, I'll be pulling him back in the gym post W. For me,
100%.
You got Chito. He's the number eight guy. I mean, this fight, you beat him. Where does that take you next for the division? Like, what would you
want? Man, it's the tough one because, like, again, like, he's not the number eight ranked fighter. You know, it'll be a big win. It'll be, you know, a great, you know, experience for me, but it doesn't really move the ladder, I guess you would say, too much. You know, keeps me busy, keeps my name out there. But this is not like I get out there and I'm getting a title shot next fight. You know, I'm thinking, obviously, everything goes smooth. Get Cheeto out of there, figure in second round, and then get back to the gym, help Calvin, and then wait for that next call. But hopefully, you know, we're in that, you know, that conversation. Then two more fights, so we'll get to that, back to that belt.
That's what I was thinking too. Yeah.
And there's obviously so much going on in your division, particularly, you know, the title picture. Aljamain just beat Peter Yan. Yeah. What did you make of that outcome?
I think I was kind of similar with everybody else. Like, not sure how that fight played out during the fight. You know, as far as Aljamain, you know, he looked impressive with the, how he took the back, how he held the back, how often he got towards the back. And then another thing about, you know, Peter, he's impressive. He's real strong in the last couple of rounds, and he just looked real good coming forward, stopping the takedowns, taking you know, Aljamain's back and making it back and forth. And honestly, I'm just happy. I'm just glad it happened. You know, the division's moving on, and we can kind of get past the first one.
And what do you think about him calling out TJ Dillashaw for the next fight?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You know, he, I think they've been going back and forth on Twitter and all that. You know, former champ, he has a huge name.
Still accusing him of cheating too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously he's going to run with that, and it should be interesting. It should make for like some good media. But yeah, I mean, it's only a couple now. It's like it's either Jose or TJ. So it's kind of like, you know, pick your poison.
What do you think is the biggest thing you took away from the Jose fight? What did you learn about yourself from that fight, where you're correcting yourself and obviously you're riding the ship?
I think it sounds weird. I think I really figuring out how to fight that five round fight, and fighting Cody for five rounds, it was experience, and it was a learning experience, and it was great. But you know, he doesn't have that same experience Aldo has, you know. And then I can feel the difference of when he took off, when he relaxed, when he pushed the pace, when he wouldn't necessarily do much and just kind of like just let the clock run a little bit, especially like hanging on the fence and nothing like that. But yeah, I think I would say just kind of like knowing when to push and pull with either the combinations or the pace, or even like pushing for a takedown, whatever. I feel like I'm figuring that out a little better.
On the note of Aldo, a lot of people consider him the greatest featherweight of all time. Obviously, now he's gone down to bantamweight. I'm curious to get your thoughts. Like, Volkanovski beat Zombie, 273. People talk about Holloway, who you've matched up against, as greatest featherweight of all time. They talk about Aldo. Where does Volkanovski right now sit in that conversation, in your opinion?
Well, he's got wins over them both, so pretty high up, you know. I got a lot of respect for the champ. He's always trying to fight contenders, you know, the guy who's next up that earned it, you know, not the guy asking for it. But, you know, we're working towards that fight one day.
Do you think he's done enough right now to surpass Max in that conversation, or Aldo, or you think he needs to get a couple more wins?
I mean, no one's done enough to say he hasn't. he's doing it as we speak. It's still not done being written. So, you know, just a lot of respect. He's going out there doing his thing, and I'm just working on earning a shot, you know, to step across from him one day.
What about him saying that he's kind of watching the 155 title picture? Like, what do you make of, you know, him talking about that and possibly moving up?
I mean, who left is in the division for him that makes the most sense right now? You know, you can't knock a guy for being ambitious, trying to, you know, take off more than he can chew, because you never know how much you can chew if you don't, you know, take that bite. So, you know, I respect anybody that he's proven himself in this division. He's fought Max twice, you know. Of course, everyone wants to see that third fight, myself included. But, you know, he hasn't really turned much down in the featherweight division and has shown up every time he stepped in there. So why not?
And then for you, let's just say you got this fight. We saw the situation where Korean Zombie got a title shot. How did you feel about that? Like, in reflecting on it too, I mean, did it go the way you expected? And being someone who's established what you've established in this division, do you feel like he had more credentials than you to get that opportunity?
I mean, I was coming off a loss at the moment. So, I mean, hindsight now, you know, if the time could have worked out where I had already earned that, you know, win back in my place where Max was injured at that moment, you know, then at that point, maybe I would think so. But coming off a loss and my full focus was on Giga, as his should have been on me. But, you know, a win over him just puts me right back in line. You know, wins don't get you further. They get you closer. So the only thing I can control is that next bout that was already booked. Post that W, you know, now maybe I'd be barking a little bit more trying to get my opportunity over Zombie, but worked out the way it did.
So, like what David mentioned in the beginning, like if the fight with Josh Emmett does get booked, do you think the win over him will get you that title shot?
Yeah, definitely get me closer, I think. You know, I'm just trying to just inch closer and closer, and I want them to, the ultimate compliment that they could say about me is that I earned it, you know? So I'm just working on earning it. Whoever they put in front of me, just got to take them out. And I want, when I get that belt, I want it to be earned, you know what I mean? So whoever I got to go through to get it, I'm ready. They're all the same.
I'm waiting for the cartel. I'm waiting for you guys to be back-to-back, or maybe that would be too tough on Tyson, who's in the background right now.
But he's a little soft. I don't know if he can handle it.
He's stressed out all
night. At least main card, space it out. Maybe someone's kicking off the card, somebody's co-main or featuring it, but Boston, the return. Oh,
that's yeah, 100%, man. I would love that. But there was the rumor when they were coming back. Yeah, that'd be huge. That'd be huge. We did it once, you know, especially if we could do it main event, co-main event, like, It'll be fireworks.
You're in that position now, I feel like, where you guys both just take care of who's in front of you next. I feel like there's more leverage on your end to kind of negotiate that,
100%,
right?
100%, man, 100%.
Take notes, T.
So Vegas, out here early and stuff like that, like, what are you doing aside from training just to keep you, you know, sane and, you know, everything going, man?
Honestly, man, I'm taking naps all day, man. Like, I mean, I'm just taking naps. I'm trying to figure out something to do, but you know, like,
nap always wins.
Yeah, the nap always kind of wins. But between the training sessions, the PI and the PT, like, I'm just kind of locked in. I was thinking maybe trying to golf a little bit, maybe even Top Golf.
Bro, you
yeah,
don't
you
want
guys
it.
Are good golfers.
I'm catching up.
Man, this guy's
catching
up quick too. I'm telling you, like, the next week he had clubs and he was out at like the driving range 6 a.m. I'm like, fuck, I should be at the driving range right now, you know. But the pressure on me got good quick.
Are you guys good mini golfers?
Well, I mean, kind of. We play par three a lot. That's kind of like a grown man mini golf, you know?
Don't play with David. He cheats.
Nah. She says I cheat
because
I don't let her win. But it's,
but then again, she's always right, too.
That's
so
true. So I lose either way in that argument.
I would. I know you swim a lot, right? Yeah. I would love to jump in the pool if you have
yeah.
Like a
no,
a
definitely.
Spot we can go to, because I mean, I don't swim often, but like.
Yeah. No, like, there's so many good pools. Yeah, I'll definitely coordinate with you about that. Yeah.
She wants to do more of a segment where she is swimming with the fighters.
Yeah, and I swim with a GoPro, and we kickboard and talk.
I mean, I still got my butterflies.
They don't want the smoke.
They don't want the smoke. The butterfly, that was more like a breaststroke.
It's all the same.
What's the butterfly?
It's kind of more the shoulders.
Oh, yeah, it's all shoulders, yeah.
Did you guys see the video? I know you looked at your phones. The guy harassing Mike Tyson on the plane.
Yeah. I didn't see I saw the aftermath, like what Tyson did to him, but I didn't see the... I'm sure the guy deserved it.
Of course.
He smiled with blood on
provoking.
Your face. Yeah, I'm
sure. Like, in this
it.
Day and age with TikTok and Instagram, everyone's just looking for that 5-second, 15-second, whatever it is, clip where they can go viral and provoke people. They think, like, you can say something to anyone and have zero repercussions.
Yeah. Or do some crazy tough shit, make a Netflix documentary about it, and get paid off your crazy-ass dumb shit you did. How crazy
true.
Is that, too, right?
Yeah, that one girl...
I mean, there's a lot of them. Yeah, it's crazy. And then they sell it to Netflix and they get paid off the crazy story anyway. It's a backdoor way of getting rich.
It sucks because I heard that what they were saying, Tyson was pretty cool at first. And then the guy just kept going and going and going. And it's kind of like, bro, like, you met a legend and all that. Like, he's being cool. He gave you what you wanted. And he just kept pushing and pushing, man.
Well, it's because he's got his friend recording it from the aisle next door. So he's just going to do whatever he can. Okay, it wasn't enough to get enough clicks. Like, everybody can meet Mike Tyson. How can I provoke him? How can I get a good reaction out of him?
Hopefully nothing
charges. Is it?
We'll see, but I'm assuming he's going to do some charges, and they're going to probably settle out of court. He's going to take a lot of money, so he just gets everything he wants out of him. He gets tough. To meet that's him. So he takes up. His money. It sucks, but that's just the day and age we live in now.
Tough, man. Social media.
Where was the TSA at, man?
Right? Yeah. it sucks. It's just a situation, though, that I feel like it's not getting any better. Mm. It's truly not. You brought up Netflix, though, too. It's like, you know, the streaming, the situation that we're into with, they're going to get to a point where it's, how do we monetize this further? Because everybody has subscription. And I feel like we're going to start seeing ads on Netflix if we haven't already too. And it's turning into the cable model that they tried so hard to get away from. Yeah. It's all coming back. It's going full circle.
Yeah. Yeah. They spent an arm and a leg trying to produce a bunch of movies and all that. Right now, the stock's kind of dropping right now, right?
Right. Yeah.
Pretty heavy.
I just don't know where the future is going to be with this stuff, but I don't know. It all correlates to me, like this whole day and age with the internet.
But are you guys Netflix binge watchers or no?
Yes and no.
Which shows?
I just watched that the Bridgerton I don't even know who's in it. Honestly, I was watching with my girl, but yeah, and just whatever's interesting, we'll check out. What was that one with Anna?
Yeah. Oh what my was gosh! Name? That's the one. That's the one my mom
said, Nana, or
yeah,
or whatever.
Something on it. Yeah,
that was a pretty good one.
I know, but I just can't believe what she did.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
That's crazy. I was telling.
Have you
seen
it?
I haven't yet. She's been telling me about it.
He likes to watch all the serial killer stuff, and especially at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. He weird. Just likes you to stay close to him. He's trying to get you freaked out.
People have fucked up minds. The psychology behind people and why they do shit. It's like I can't decide if they're just really stupid or they were just corrupted when they were kids and children. Bad parenting, that's probably it mostly. But man, people do some crazy shit and they're too dumb to realize you're not going to get away with this.
Yeah, even the guys producing some of the shit that never have, it's like, what happened to you to make you think of all this and, you know, produce a movie, put your name behind that? That's kind of crazy.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's some crazy stuff out there.
But some stuff is very realistic, like, I don't know, prison scenes and stuff like that from movies. And then you hear people describe what it's like in behind bars in prison. Not that I can attest to it, but it's like people talk about, oh, it's real shit.
Bobby Green talking a lot about that, right?
I was just listening to that podcast, too.
I still got to listen to it, but I heard off that's why I got to listen to it.
It was crazy. It was his coach that got locked in. He was set up. It was like they were trying to buy a car, and the guy was just stealing their information. And then they confronted him, drove down to San Diego, and they were coming from, like, the L.A. area, county area. And, yeah, basically they wanted to accuse Bobby and his coach, being white, didn't want to put him under the bus, and rightfully so. And this guy basically had all their information and was going to just take their money and run, and sold them a bullshit car, and they called him out for it and had to serve a couple of years. And a shitty situation.
Happens fast, man. Happens horrible, fast.
Horrible. Something like kidnapping or something.
Yeah.
Ruining
for
people listening. Yeah, like if you make a guy walk more than 23 feet.
Some crazy loophole. Yeah, that's
some freaking loophole in the system. That fucking sucks, man.
Fuck that.
Got that Mike Tyson treatment.
Yes. But even too, like, people go into gyms, like, I think Kevin Holland and Derek Lewis, like, some guy had called them out to spar and stuff. They signed waivers, and they get knocked out or do jiu-jitsu. Like, I hate how people, going back to that, just feel like they can talk so much shit in front of people and have no repercussions. Like, won't stand up to it when they have to face the music.
It's tough. Yeah, you just got to eat it. I mean, try to just stay out of those types of situations, but sometimes they're unavoidable. But you offend me more probably talking shit about someone I'm with, you know, especially if they're not in a position to be able to do anything about it. That'd probably bother me more than just calling me out or saying something. Like, you say something on Uncle T, it's going to bother me because he can't really defend himself, you know?
Yeah.
So I got to keep an eye out for this guy.
Or if just someone just says, your mom's cooking sucks and the chicken parm is no good.
What?
You fuck him up.
Yeah. No, honestly, I let that one go because more for me, you know? I can't let people know how good the chicken parm is.
But no one showed up to the gym in New England, right? They haven't come by to...
Not that have returned visit, you know? We don't know what happened to them, but yeah.
Oh, man.
I'd feel like, though, because you're in the area, Dana White's got his legions to the Boston area and stuff like that, there's got to be some pull you guys have with just trying to call some shots. Tyson, come on, geez. Nothing?
You get on it. We got to get on it, man. Something. We got to figure something out because Boston, it's just like it's asking for us, man. It's like, when was the last time they came? It was it Joe's fight?
What he's saying is we're due.
Wait, that was the Dominic Reyes, Chris Weidman? We were at that. That was that fight night.
Oh, well, that was the last time.
That was when he fought Stevens?
No, I was supposed to fight Zabit. Right? I even did something at Fenway with Weidman, right? We did some PR for that. And then, like, I'm kidding. You're actually going to Russia.
Where is
Zabit?
Nobody knows.
I haven't heard anything.
You think he returns to the UFC?
I mean, like I said, I don't really focus on these guys like that. I don't give a fuck about them, honestly, any of them. Until I'm lined up. And then after that, I really don't give a fuck again. You know, I wish the best always, but, like, I'm not focused on them. I try to, the more you focus on other people, man, it's when I'm going to get knocked out. You know, just focus on my own shit, staying on my lane, and focus on what I can control. That's it, like, all day, every day.
It's a damn good way to put it.
Trying, man. You know, I mean, people do all that and still might not, you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, I mean, all I could do is everything I could do.
Earlier when you mentioned about a rumor in Boston, why did I hear the same rumor though? I think on Twitter I saw someone report that, but
yeah, I guess there's a video of Boston Dana saying a couple of cities that he wanted to go out to, so
yeah, but I think I heard the same thing.
Well, they're expanding. You know, they did the fight night in Columbus. We're there in London and I think they're going to be going to Austin, Texas. Nice. Like, they're expanding. Like, you still like the Apex environment, or, you know, would you prefer being in front of 20,000 people?
I mean, I definitely wouldn't mind being in front of 20,000 again. That feeling that hearing that crowd erupt like that, getting that energy is you know, it's what we get into this for, you know, but. You know, Apex has been pretty cool too. Like, it's pretty easy. I love coming to Vegas. So, if not, let's move it to the T-Mobile. You know, but if not T-Mobile, let's go to Vegas.
And they're building that sphere here. But I'm waiting for them to have a fight in Raider Stadium. That's what I'm waiting for.
Foxborough.
Like, Foxborough would be cool too. It'd be really cool. But you just gotta make sure that you do it in the summer months, not in the winter months. At least Vegas.
The weather's crazy.
Has the retractable roof.
You're not lying.
But, like, you know, they're teasing about, or I guess they want John Jones and Stipe Miocic to have that fight, interim UFC heavyweight title fight. Like, stack the cards. Why not have that at Raider Stadium? International fight week.
I'm tuning in.
Internet. Oh, that'd be fun. I'm definitely coming out for that one.
But I think the wrestling, WWE, is having a
SummerSlam
or something at that time. But I just wish, because you guys know, you guys are football fans. The season starts up in August, like, you can't do anything at stadiums between August and January, February. So now would be the time to do it. Pull the trigger. That's what I'm waiting for.
Oh, and next week, what do they have here? The NFL?
Well, yeah, your fight card is going on when they have the, like that Saturday, they have the NFL draft here in Vegas, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Nice.
Literally that. So this place is going to be a zoo. There's going to be a lot of foot traffic. It's actually a really good thing you came early, I think, now that I'm putting two and two together.
When's the F1 race coming here next year?
I believe fall 2023.
Fall 2023.
So I think around September area. Are you excited for this?
Yeah, I mean, it's cool, but T's the big F1 guy. I knew he was going to crack
you. He already has.
We have a weekend set up.
Am I right? Fall 2023?
November.
Sorry, 2 months off.
Yeah.
Tyson, I want you to slide in here. I got something for you because we were messaging in a couple of weeks here. Who's going out? Okay, Rob's going out. Then I'll bring you back in. So, Tyson, I realized that when you showed me the picture of you and your son with the schmo glasses, it was before I created the schmo glasses line. I got to give you the real thing form right there. So I figured I'd do that. So got to give him the real deal glasses.
Still
right
in
there.
The wrap.
Yeah, I don't want to take it out.
Official.
Put these babies on.
It's from New Hampshire, too. You got the camouflage case. I see you. Details.
Well, yeah, the camouflage case. That there's a backstory behind that.
Wow.
You like this?
It looks great.
Ooh. It's always a 90-degree day.
I love
day.
It.
They look natural on you.
I'm the schmo now.
He's the schmo now.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, let's ask you a couple questions, man, because coaching and managing these guys, the balance, you've been on the show before and also a former fighter. Just talk about kind of like the ascension of the team in the past couple of years and the how rewarding, because I know it's been a grind and people don't see all the work you guys continuously put in it. But I feel like now is kind of like the turning point where people are starting to truly recognize the New England Cartel.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, kind of a vision I had a decade and a half ago. And I saw like New England was underrepresented on the national stage. I think we were doing a lot of infighting, a lot of the egos from the different gyms, like my best guy fights your best guy, and neither one of them go to the UFC. And we were kind of a laughingstock on the national level. No one was going to the UFC. We just had a couple guys. And I'm like, man, our guys are fighting tougher fights locally than these guys are fighting in the UFC. It didn't make sense. So little by little, you know, working with guys like Rob and then eventually bringing guys like Calvin, we had the best guys start training with each other. And then coming up and, you know, a few years ago, we broke off, started doing the Cartel, and we had a vision of, like, let's take the boxing approach and build a small camp around a couple fighters with some of the best coaches, you know, get some of these guys sitting over here, some of the best coaches, and then bring in some of the best training partners. And I think you can chase the UFC belt without having to leave New England. And, you know, both these guys are close. You know, they were both one fight away. You know, you win that fight, you're fighting for a title type thing. And now they're both on the way back. So it's, yeah, it's been a lot of hard work, but it's cool to see their hard work pay off, all the other coaches, all the, you know, the families back home. It truly is a team effort.
1 year from now, what's that goal?
Man, it's just, we don't even think that way, you know, because we can't think past Saturday for Rob. We can't think past what's coming up for Calvin. It's like, you literally just take it one camp at a time. And we always say is like every camp, we're just trying to build a stronger house, a better foundation, you know, fill holes in the boat. And then you leave that camp, win, lose, or draw in that fight, you're going to be better for the next one. And so if we start thinking about like what's going to happen next year, or the year after that, it's, you know, that you're overlooking next Saturday. Like the only thing that really matters right now is Rob's fight next Saturday. And then it'll be like a full 180 shift on Calvin and then the younger guys on the team that got some fights coming up. So it's all hands on deck right now. We're just thinking about April 30th.
So stylistically, Cheeto, because Rob's been fighting killers, as is Calvin right here. Where does Cheeto's style match up compared to previous couple fights, you know, the Aldo fights, the Cody Garbrandt fights? Where do you put his skill set in that echelon with those guys?
I don't think this is a fight about skill sets. I think Cheeto's got a dog in him. You know, he comes, he scraps, he wins fights that he was losing, and deals with adversity in fights and comes back real well. He's pretty well-rounded. He can kind of, you know, you're never really safe with him. He might not have that Cody Garbrandt right hand or, you know, the Aldo leg kick, but he's got a great leg kick, and he's got, you know, a decent, you know, rear kick, and he'll wing both hands, you know, and you know, we know he likes to clinch, and he's got a, you know, jiu-jitsu black belt, and he's good off his back, but he's also good on top. He's aggressive, and he's got a good team behind him. So, like, you know, he's pretty well-rounded, and I think that's what makes him dangerous, and the fact that on top of being well-rounded, he has no quit. You know, he's going to come forward, and he's just going to keep going. So I think it's, that's what makes this a fun fight, you know, because both these guys went the distance with Aldo, who is a legend, and came up short. And both these guys are tough. Both these guys are really, really hard to finish. And but both are big finishers, too. I think they're both probably the top five or six in the division in all-time finishes. So I think that makes it for an exciting fight for the fans. And I do see some areas that, like, I think Rob has big advantages. And we just have to try to play in that part of the sandbox to, you know, fight everything on our terms.
What about Josh Emmett for Calvin?
Yeah, I mean, I never believe a fight's happening until there's contracts signed and all that. But, I mean, if that's what the UFC's targeting and that's what we end up getting, then that's a fun fight. You know, we always talk, Calvin doesn't care who he fights. You always say that. They're all the same. They're all good in their own way, and they're all beatable in their own way. And if that's who we end up getting, then, you know, we'll put our heads down, get in the gym, work hard, and come out prepared to beat a Josh Emmett. He, you know, obviously he's got a dangerous right hand. He's got a wrestling background. He's usually pretty good cardio. I think he used to do like going to CrossFit gym or something. And yeah, I think it's a fun fight for the fans too, because you got two bangers there. And you know, we'll just have to come together as a team and figure out the best way to attack that.
I think when you guys were in the podcast studio last time, it was the 10-year anniversary of a photo that we took of you and your fighting career. I guess,
oh geez,
the biggest thing that you take away from your time fighting and transition that to the coaching life?
I just think that there's always like voices in your head, and I don't mean like from a crazy person standpoint, but there's like the bitch voice and the voice that'll help you win. And the bitch voice is there. He's like, no, it's okay. Don't defend the takedown. You can give him the underhook. We'll get it after that. Or like, oh, don't push so hard. I'll get it next round. And that guy's talking the whole time. And I recognize that, like in practice and the fights, he's there the whole time. Like every fighter has that. And it's just, as a coach, you got to recognize that that's there. You got to address it. And then when you see them starting to lose that internal battle to the bitch voice, you got to like step up and let them recognize what they're doing and call them out for it. And then hopefully they start to learn that, you know, they're in charge and that bitch voice a little quieter moving forward. So I think that's really the biggest thing, is like you understand what they're going through and how hard it really is, you know, because it's easy for someone who's never done this before to sit here and be like, you got to go harder. It's like, listen, dick, I know, like, have you ever done this? You know, but there's really not much that these guys are doing other than the level they're doing it at that I can't say that I've done. I've had bad weight cuts. I've had short notice fights, long fights. I've had opponents, you know, switch. I've had to fight up a weight class, all that stuff. Like a lot of the stuff that, you know, most of the adversity that we're going to have to deal with, I've done it on my level, you know, when I was a fighter. So I think that experience and then coming at it, you know, with that experience, but now with like a lot more experience as a coach, I think it helps me get through to them, or maybe if someone hadn't fought, they might not be able to.
Kelvin, where would you say the confidence that you have comes from? Like the inner self-belief and just the mentality of just taking what's in front of you and not looking too far ahead?
Yeah, just putting the focus on what I can control, and then just how bad I want it, really. I just, you know, I always say chasing that life on the other side of a win, but you know, no one can see the things that I want for myself other than me, and I'm prepared to work as hard as I have to do in order to get them.
And having gold around your waist, that's what justifies everything, or is that going to bring you?
No, it's going to bring me the shit I want to, you know, take care of the people I need to, things like that, my why. So, like, you talk about the opponent, it's like no opponent's bigger than, like, life and just what, you know, that'll sit you on your ass. And it has for me. I've gotten back up from everything. So I just know that there's nothing that can hold me down as long as I just keep pushing forward. And like what we say, like if we do fall, we fall forward, we get back up and keep pushing, you know, because what's the other option? Sitting on your ass, feeling sorry for yourself, looking back. It's always forward and on to bigger and better things, man.
I wanted to add, when you're talking about just kind of being able to relate to the fighters and whatnot. Like in the beginning, I told Kelvin that I saw you get a lot of very well-deserved praise, you know, for his last fight against Giga and how just everything unfolded and was handled.
I mean, there's no right way to come back from a loss. And it was just my gut leaving that fight. Like, I just felt like he was due for some time off. You know, since he'd been in the UFC, he'd been in fight camp for 2.5-3 years. It went just back-to-back-to-back camps, and, you know, we're not one of these – he's not one of these guys that's going to pull out over because he's hurt. Like, you have to have a legit injury for him to pull out of a fight. So we're going into these fights sometimes with, you know, busted-up noses and sore things or whatever, but we're always getting cleared by doctors, and we're going in there, and he just never had the time to take his foot off the gas pedal and just like, all right, let me just chill, and then let us get in the gym with him and, like, focus on some things that – you know, in a fight camp, you don't have time to fix, because it's like, all right, we got to get the weight down. We got to get ready for this guy, and we can scoot through with this deficit over here. We'll get that next camp, and then it doesn't happen. And so I felt we weren't going to get worse with more time off, but maybe if we came back too soon, you know, some guys that come back too soon from big fights like that, you know, their chin's not the same, and, you know, maybe they get knocked out easier than they would have last time, and who knows if that would have happened. But I thought like, time off's not going to hurt Kelvin. We needed to build some new triggers in the gym, and I think the year off, you know, we did no contact for a long time, and then when we came back, the whole goal was to see him, like, fight a different style that we knew he could do, but he just wasn't doing yet. And, you know, we spent a lot of time in the gym with, you know, guys like Jake and Nick and even Rob, and just trying to build new triggers and get him to fight a little bit different, and that came out in the Giga fight. So, you know, yeah, you got a lot of people saying, oh, the time off, but we could have easily come out and got knocked out in the first round. It would have been like, what's the time off do, you know? Right. So, like, yeah, it's just a gut instinct. I felt like more time to just sharpen some weapons that he already had and build some new weapons. And that was really the benefit of the time off, in my opinion, was finally getting to, like, get in the gym and work on building some new weapons, because everybody's got video on Kelvin now. They know how he fights. So if they're smart, they'll come out and fight a certain way and hope it works, right? So we had to come out, you know, back from that Max fight and show people that, listen, you can't just bully us around the cage, because if you do that, other stuff's going to happen. And that was the perfect opponent to show that. And, you know, I was really proud that Calvin came back the way he did, you know, especially with all the news going into the fight, how it was with, you know, what were it, 2 or 3 to 1 underdog. It's, oh, we shouldn't even have to fight. He should just get the title shot with.
Yeah, he was talking Alex about now. Fighting for the title.
You know, and our whole thing is like, we were never thinking about the title. We were just thinking about Giga. And, you know, you can't overlook these guys in the UFC, especially in the top 10. And, you know, Calvin came and he showed everybody that, you know, he's still here. He's still a top dog. And, you know, I think he gets his next win. I mean, right now you could argue that if Max gets hurt right now, who deserves the title shot? It's probably us. So, like, we're still a contender. You know, if we have to go out and fight, you know, whether it's Emmett or whoever, you know, we go out and fight regardless of the ranking. That's another win in the top 10. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of people thinking, if we do it in great fashion, there's going to be a lot of people arguing that Calvin should get the next title fight after Max does. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
I just think the pivot is not talked about enough. Like, the pivot and just the whole shift in mentality, everyone's like, oh, I got to fight, I got to rebound from this, get right back in there and stuff like that. And they're not really taking the time to assess and reevaluate and work on things. I think the pivot you guys made and then the results that you have, I don't think it's getting enough praise and not getting the credit that it deserves. And it's just it's just a credit to what you guys did as a team, the decision-making process and doing the right things. And I think it's just completely changed the outlook of what's really here in front of us at the top echelon of the featherweight division.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, trust is built over time and it's made with a bunch of little decisions over and over and over. And I think, you know, over the last 10 years, we've, you know, 7, 8, 10 years, whatever it is, we've built that trust. Like, I've never been dishonest to him. I've always been straight up. I've always told him what I think. And that was, I thought that was the move after that fight. And we're fortunate enough that we have that relationship where he was like, you know, he wanted to fight the next day. He wanted to go for a jog the next day after the Max fight. He's like, can I go run? And we're like, no. So it's like, you know, it's holding back the guy. He wants to get back in there and do it. And that's what I want in a fighter. But, you know, fortunately we had that relationship where he's like, all right, I trust you. Just let's get to work, you know? And so I think that just shows the type of team that we are, you know, and then everybody on the team was on board. And, you know, that win, it was more him than anyone, though. You know, you come back from a fight like the Max fight that just, you didn't have the momentum, it didn't go your way, and then come back against the guy who's supposed to be a better striker than Max on paper, everybody's saying it, and he came back and he's like, no, I'm going to show you who the better striker is now. And that's just kudos to how mentally strong he is and how hard he works and what his upside truly is.
And the mental strength is so important in fighting and I think in most sports.
I think people like, all the interviews I did after the Max fight going into the next one, they were like, how's Calvin's confidence? And I'm like, dude, do you think the Patriots lose to the Bills the first time and then come back the next game being like, I don't know if we can beat them. They're too good. Like, you know, in this combat sports, you know, you take a loss to someone and people think like, oh, well, now Calvin can never beat Max. It's like, listen, if any of these guys fight 10 times, there's going to be a different outcome, like every time, you know? It's very rare that the one person's going to win 10 times, and that's what happens. And at this level, it really comes down to whoever gets momentum first and or whoever makes the first mistake. And unfortunately that night, Max, he's a freaking OG. You know, he's a legend of the division and, you know, won a Hall of Famer in the UFC eventually, right? And he took momentum and he just kept it. And, you know, Calvin said in interviews he got laughed at the time going into the Giga fight, but he's like, I'm excited for that fifth round. And that's no disrespect to Max or his team, but, like, I really do think he can still beat Max Holloway. He just has to fight a certain way. And that night, unfortunately, it wasn't our night. And but it doesn't mean that he can't beat Max, you know, and I think
if anything, now I have the opportunity to show him that you can come back from a fight like that so upside down and then hopefully go out and win if I can, you know, pull it off in emphatic fashion. I mean, I have the opportunity now to go prove that. You know, I didn't have that before the fight, so be it, the way it worked out. But now it's an opportunity that I have to go show people, you know, from that what you know, you can bounce back. So I'm going to play that card next time I'm in there.
100%. So we're about a little bit more than a week away from Rob's fight. How do you guys taper everything off to make sure there's no overtraining? What is the strategy to make sure he's in healthiest position, best position possible, physically, mentally, leading into next Saturday night for fight night?
No, you just usually by the time we come out here a week early, and now we're just going through the motions where, you know, it's like Saturday walkthroughs in football. You know, you're not going 100%. We're just going through the motions. We're dialing in, you know, make sure he gets the sweats in because obviously we got the weight cut coming up, making sure his triggers are there. He's getting good reps with Jake on the mitts. He's getting good rounds with Nick on jiu-jitsu. You know, he, you know, light sparring with these guys, moving around and just getting some coaching in between rounds and just trying to make it feel like it's fight night and just make sure we're just tightening up any loose ends that are there. And then, you know, it's at that point, it's just like the work is done. Now you're just like tying off loose ends and just, you know, getting everything really pretty to come out on fight night. So, yeah, the work is done in camp. And then here it's just about like maintenance mode, getting into the fight.
So the swimming, I'll teach him some swim stuff after the fight, after his win, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't want to mess anything out leading up to the fight. So
I'm in on that, though, too.
Okay.
dual action. Action for sure.
Let's get Calvin. Let's get Rob back in here. You get in here, Rob.
No, thanks for
having me on, guys.
Yeah, 100%. Thank you, Tyson. Thank you. What you say would be, I know we're not going to pick anything crazy like that, but like if you ever had a dream fight, is there any person that you ever envisioned that you'd ever fight?
I think
he's had some nightmares about fighting Van Damme.
Probably. Wouldn't mind getting in there with Van Damme, but that'd be pretty cool.
Van Damme? I love it.
I'm not going to even bother asking you that question because you're only looking at what's booked in front of you.
Yeah, you're damn right, man. I'm on to Tyson tonight. I'm going to beat his ass for the shit he said earlier.
But
that'd be pretty interesting.
What about Will Smith slapping Chris Rock?
Oh, yeah.
Strong form.
That was rough, man.
Strong form. Elbows in tight. Good turnover.
He smacked. He pulled it back.
Well, people thought it was like fake.
That was almost about snaps, slaps I've ever seen.
Was it justified, though?
I wouldn't say that, man. It's tough, man. I don't know. I don't think you can run around slapping people like that. It's kind of tough, man.
But if you were sitting in his seat, and he was saying something about your girl.
Yeah.
Nah, man. I think my girl would be pretty pissed if I did that. So I get it, though. I understand why. But it's tough, man. Running around slapping people like that. It's
Mike Tyson
got to
be slapping people. You know, no more punching, man. You got to stop making people. We probably still make them bleed with a slap.
Like six, seven.
Yeah, right? It's so hard, though. You ever try, like, man, fighting in a plane? I fought my brother one time in the car, you know?
It was a lot bigger than you.
Yeah, he was in the passenger seat, and I was in the back seat. Good thing it kind of, like, leveled the playing field, though, you know? And we were just swinging over our heads, hitting the roof the whole time. Kind of like Mike, you know, he's tough to, like, get a good angle on a shot like that. In a plane.
I still haven't seen like the full version that's unedited. I just saw him. I feel like they edited two different videos together, or they took out the part where he got up and saw him wailing on him.
They saw him talk, the guy talking, and then added. Then Mike just throwing some.
They took the time to edit
and the photo after.
Yeah.
You poked the bear, part. So. Yeah.
And I hate to ask you this because I know you're cutting weight, but as a former pizza guy, like, what's the ideal toppings you put on a pizza?
Ooh, man, I mean, classic margarita, but I like jalapenos on pizzas too. Got to always go with bacon on everything. I mean, we were just talking about it. It's so many options. You got chicken parm pizza, dessert pizzas. You can't really go wrong, man. Like,
what kind of pizza? Thin, Chicago style, deep.
I think the hand toss. I think it's simple to the hand toss. Yeah. I mean, I'll try the thin as well in the Chicago, but I think classic hand toss, like medium size, and you know, throw anything you want on that bad boy.
What about French fries?
Chili cheese fries all day.
Like on them, because I do have a pizza named after me. It's called a Hellenic pizza. Yeah, it's here in town.
In Vegas?
Yeah.
Nice. So what's the toppings?
It's French fries. Bacon, sausage, pepperoni.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
I feel like it's one ingredient too much. It's really good. One ingredient too much.
One ingredient. What would you take off?
One of the meats you got to take off. Or it's too filling because it's
thicker. You can never have too much meat.
I'm going to be honest, too. I'm a little jealous she's got a pizza named after her, too. But I just feel like the ratio of crust and bread to the fries, it might just be too much.
But people gave me crap for putting French fries on them, but I'm like,
you burn enough calories in the pool, you don't gotta worry about it.
Yeah, and it's like two meals in one, you know?
Just not a big fan of pineapple on pizza.
You know, I could do some pineapple. I don't like it's like my favorite, but I could definitely eat it for sure.
Are you pineapple?
I like pineapple on a lot of other things, you know, but I don't know. I gotta try it again on pizza. Not Not like I don't order it. So, but I like pineapple on a lot of other things.
I like pineapple on like teriyaki chicken. That's good. That. That's a good that like. Good,
you know, I liked it on sushi one time. It got me going. My first sushi roll.
I love frozen pineapple.
Frozen pineapple is good too. I know we should probably shouldn't talk too much. Yo, what are you doing, man?
Okay, let's go through a weight cut. Frozen pineapple, frozen grapes, right? Yeah, especially the cotton candy ones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he got me onto grapes, those. Yeah.
Well, and, and you freeze those, too. Yeah, yeah. It's like dessert.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, it's
throw some pineapple.
It's a game changer. Go. I just wonder what kind of chemicals they use to make them taste like cotton candy.
Try not to think about it. Try not to think about it. Enjoy it, man.
So what's your go-to meal?
It was funny.
After.
It's usually like pizza's the easiest, and then we'll figure out whatever I've been watching on Instagram and creeping on, you know. But I've been wanting White Castle. I don't know why.
What?
Yeah, I don't know why. I saw like a YouTube video of like a remake of the burger. Then I'm like, I used to eat it when I was younger, and I just can't really remember if how good it or bad it was. I'm like, all right, we gotta go get it. So I looked it up. It's like maybe 3.5 hours from my house. It's like, I guess they're only in New York or whatever. And
there's one here.
But then right? You get here, there's one out here. So I'm like, I don't know, man. I have to go try some White Castles.
I think the only time I went, I was a teenager. It was right after Harold and Kumar go to White Castle. Oh, yeah. We drove out like 30 minutes away, and I probably ordered like 20 sliders.
Did you love it?
I loved it. I mean, I was probably stoned out of my mind too, so everything tastes better.
They're probably all out from yesterday. They need a week.
Yeah, man. I'm excited for after this fight.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you guys are where the hotel is. It's still kind of off the strip, but it always smells like that synthetic marijuana right on the strip and stuff. Yeah. We weren't there yesterday, but I can only imagine the cloud cover you got from 420.
I can imagine as well.
it's crazy.
And you're near Topgolf too.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. We gotta get out there.
I'm down.
Who's better at Topgolf?
I mean,
it's all strategy. It's all strategy, though. It's all strategy.
Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, it's not easy, but it's fun. I do like it. It's a good setup.
Yeah. Yeah, we just get really competitive, and we start getting into fights whenever we golf. So.
Makes sense.
Well, it's nice. It's tough to eat food when you're golfing in the other place. You know what I mean? It's the spot. It's trying to eat food and swing a club.
Well, it's like, you know, she's got to get back in the competitive mode for swimming and stuff like that. So if I don't do my part when she's not in the pool, how are we going to hold her accountable when she's in the pool?
I like it.
By cheating and making up rules?
I don't cheat. She just gets up really, really upset. Yeah. No, because the things that, like, as a kid, you know, you're a big golfer, too, so you understand, like, if you lose your shit on one hole, it's going to affect everything.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And it's all mental.
Always on to the next hole.
It's like, it's all about challenging yourself mentally. It's like, even if you screw up, okay, I just got a rebound. I can't even think about it. For her, I see where sometimes where she screws up and she can't get back on the horse.
Yeah, yeah. She's just trying to break you to build you up. Yeah.
I remember, like, there's times where she just walked out, or like there's like a 5-stroke limit to some of even these mini golf places we've gone to. But we don't play by that. We play till you get the ball in the hole.
Yes,
so I made her sit there till she gets 15 strokes in, and she finally gets the ball in the hole. Like,
King
she gets
Schmo.
Oh, I love it.
She gets mad, though. She gets really mad. It's fun, though.
I'll beat you next time.
Yeah. Well, what's like a dream? We're going to get away from fighting then. So what's like a dream vacation or dream place that you guys need to go to with all the win bonuses and earnings you got? Like, what's on the bucket list for you guys?
I'm thinking Thailand. I've always had that on the bucket list. It's been tough with COVID. Obviously, they have big quarantines forever when you get in there. So that kind of made it unrealistic. But the reason why I like it is because I've already done the Brazil travel. Well, you can kind of train, do some jiu-jitsu out there. I like to go out there, train a little bit, and then go see, you know, all Thailand has to offer. I see some beautiful views. I hear a lot about it. But you can also get in the training.
Yeah. You can train with his
too far of the deep end.
Maybe a future opponent with this guy, Peter Yan, right?
He's out there, right?
Yeah.
He's out there. What part of Thailand is he?
I don't know if they're like Pawtucket, like where they do the I could be completely wrong, but that's where Rafael Fiziev is there too. He's one of the coaches. He's the 155er.
I want to go see some Thai fights out there too, which is like legendary. Just seeing, you know, Thai fights.
Oh yeah, Mike Swick's out there too. You know, AKA Thailand. Yeah. I'm just not sure. Like,
I just assume it's all Pawtucket. I've never been. I just assume it's in that area.
It's all Thailand to me.
Yeah, Thai food's really good.
Thailand's a must. I think I had Thai food the other day, I think. You guys had some Thai food the other day?
Yeah, they did.
Jake.
Are you Thailand too? What's your spot?
Oh, I'm definitely down for Thailand, but man, anywhere with a beach, anywhere hot. I hate being cold.
Yeah, me too. I hate being cold.
I hate being cold, but there's one spot I would go to. I would go to Iceland and in the hot springs.
Yeah. Is that where they do like the Northern Lights and all
yeah,
that, right?
Yeah.
I've seen that.
Really cool. They got the igloos and stuff outside, I think, too, out there.
Some, you know, just like remote areas and stuff. I guess it'd be cold, but you'd be warm if you go to the hot springs, or it'd be better if you go in the summertime. I can't pronounce the capital, but I know people. My brother's been there, so he told me about it. I saw pictures. I'm like, nice. Fuck, I need to go there. Yeah.
Where is that place you could float in the pool?
Pool?
Yeah. It's like super salty. Salt,
or something? No, that's the Dead Sea in Israel. Oh. That you can float on top of the water because there's so much salt. And if you have a cut.
Read a book.
Your eyes must sting knowing that, right?
Yeah.
Remember Abu Dhabi was kind of stinging your eyeballs over there a little 100%. Bit too, right? How salty the water was.
Yes.
I almost died that
day. Yeah, you did. That was the worst. He was hurt, man. From the F1 track.
Yeah, I was hurt. No, so originally. I just got off of a knee surgery and rehab and all that. I haven't ran, jogged, or nothing. We just got the clearance like around this, so I'm excited. Let's go jog. Probably like halfway, like a mile and a half, I'm dying. I'm sitting there like, look, what's going on? Like, I feel like I'm overheating, like, to the point where people saw me like, are you okay? And then like, you need water. And then I there's a couple guys took me back on a golf course, and then
golf cart,
and they brought me back to the hotel. I was out for like maybe like 4 or 5 hours and then recovered. And then the next day got out to the F1 race cars, and same thing. Almost died out there too. It was just too hot for me.
Dude, it is way too fucking hot there, and humid too. You got the heat. You got the worst of this. It's like combining the worst of Florida and Vegas and put it in
one. It was. Yeah.
What? That was rough. It's such a crazy time to think about, like how they had Fight Island during this whole pandemic shit. You know, because everything's lifted now, and I don't want to call it shit. It's a real thing, but like. It's a crazy time to reflect on. We went all the way to Abu Dhabi. That's where the fights were. Yeah. There was no other sports going on at the time.
I just remember thinking from the Jacksonville fight. I remember like we were like it was like so dangerous to do this. And
yeah.
It was bad. We were irresponsible. It was pretty bad. Like to now, you know, it was pretty funny.
You were part of a lot of the ViStar. That was what kicked everything off. You're part of a lot of the historic stuff too. And I think even the Max fight, wasn't that the first one on ABC?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Yep.
For that was the first MMA fight on ABC. It's just been a part of history.
Yeah, it's been pretty wild. I was, when they were talking about Fight Island, we were talking about fighting on like a boat offshore and stuff. We were just talking about that the other day. How like I wish it was kind of something crazy like that. The more crazy the idea, the more up for it I was.
I initially thought that at one point too, because I think in college basketball, I remember watching a Michigan State, UNC, they were off the shores of San Diego playing on like a Navy battleship. I thought they were going to do something like that too. How amazing would it be if you guys are doing MMA? Might be seasick, but
fighting on a yacht.
How cool would that be? Yeah.
That would be a really cool thing. I'm surprised like there hasn't been some royal prince in that area that's kind of like set that thing up.
Yeah.
We got to get it done.
That'd be a crazy kind of shindig.
Just do it in the States.
Just add some story.
That flight was horrible.
Yeah, that flight was rough, man. We had to go to Vegas first before we went there. So, you know, East Coast, West Coast to go all the way back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
the
sucks.
Time difference.
Yeah, kind of a pain in the ass. But, I mean, at least we were able to compete, be busy, obviously. Thing of positive.
What's your final thoughts, guys? I appreciate you guys coming on the podcast.
I'm just impressed by this your studio here, man. Congrats on this.
Yeah.
This place coming together, and I can't wait to see the final product.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Loving the swag.
I mean, I got it from you.
Let's go on to next week. Team Font.
Let's fucking go.
So now that I've interviewed Brooke, I feel like I got to interview Hulk, and I feel like. It might be the appropriate shirt.
I mean, just have him rip it in half for me if he's going to get rid of it, all right? Just give me a good one.
Maybe I could do that.
I would love that.
See, I'll just put it because it's the same. It's cool.
I got to get you something not like straight cloth. I don't know. It might be a little tough. I'll get you.
I might have to make an incision.
Couple tears,
or
a little bit.
Like
just
that.
Around the seams.
Let's cut the little top right there.
It made my day because she said, I got to tell my dad.
Hell yeah.
Oh, fuck. That's cool. That's a cool thing. Episode 101 of the Schmozone podcast. We are out.
know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.